welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I'm not sure if you caught it last week. I think it was Thursday. In our episode regarding the Wisconsin legislature canceling the COVID mandates and so forth, and how the Democrat came right out and basically said, and that's why he reinstituted, or the governor reinstituted the policy, was due to the fact that by canceling these mandates, or his mandates regarding COVID, it put at risk the $50 million a month that Wisconsin is now being paid by, and rewarding people for, or rewarding states, I should say, for keeping their economy and basically keeping them down, with the federal government actually supporting this. This is a huge turn from what Trump was doing, because if you look at what Trump was doing, obviously Trump was all on board with this concept of, you know, letting the states make their own choices, and actually was trying to promote states to open up because he wants to see the U.S. economy thrive again. He understands the importance of the economy, and he also understands the magnitude of, if you look at the COVID vaccine, and not the vaccine, but the COVID pandemic or plandemic, whatever you want to call it, you can tell that the death rate is not greater than the typical flu season, or I should say, even a bad flu season. It's really a low risk. Now, there are people that die from it. It's not that it's not a risk, but so is the flu. And so why is it? Well, obviously, there's a reason why, and everybody understands the reset and so forth. So really, what we want to do is we want to do marketing, and I believe that there's just so many reports regarding COVID and the vaccines that this should already motivate you on their own. And when I say motivate you, getting you involved, getting you to step up and say, I am not going to sit back anymore. If I don't take action, if I don't start contributing to the solution, then I'm as culpable as everybody else that has blood on their hands. Because there are two types of sins, omission and commission. Commission means that you're out actually supporting the problem and supporting the evil being perpetrated upon the American people. The sins of omission means that you're not doing anything when you know you should. Anyway, with that being said, and not trying to, you know, insult anybody, but we have to ramp this up. We actually have to start identifying who is a part of the problem and who's a part of the solution. I was talking to somebody that I believe we're going to put up on our website, or maybe the NLA website or somebody's website. What we want to do is actually start posting the organizations that we have formally reached out to and ask them to unite on demanding full compliance and getting the states together to work together and doing the necessary measures in interposing against the federal government's noncompliance to the Constitution. Clearly what Madison was calling for, and I'm actually using Madison's words. So what we want to do is we want to put up those agencies and organizations and people or leaders and say, hey, there we go. Now, one of the things that I've been trying to put my arms around, because I truly believe that we're on the, not even believe, I know that we're on the moral high ground. And I also know that there are a lot of people that claim to be Christian, the people that are probably really good, but they're just really misinformed. And so sometimes it takes a real bold accusation to say, I bet my life, and I'm just going to fill in the blank here, and you can put whatever your favorite conservative entertainer's name is here, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh's gone, Charlie Kirk, anybody out there, Glenn Beck, Mark Levin, I bet my life. Now, Mark Levin's not Christian, so he actually may, because a good Christian would not actually ask for you to surrender your life. And so this is why I believe it's a safe bet, but it's a bold bet. That I bet you, I'll bet my life that these people who are actually making money and making a good living off the goose that lays the golden egg, I bet my life, if they understood the solution that would end this problem and get the federal government into full compliance, I'm betting my life that they won't do anything. And I would love to prove them wrong. And in so saying, I believe that's a safe bet because I don't believe, you know, I believe that they're an honorable person and they actually get involved because they really care. They would probably, instead of saying, yeah, now that I've done this, now that we've saved the Constitution and performed Republic Review, that they wouldn't ask necessarily for my life. Because I truly believe that they would probably, if they're an honorable person, again, they would be the one apologizing and saying, you know, man, I should have got on board with this a lot sooner. This, you know, instead of having this rammed down my throat to say, wow. Now, have you heard about the Trevor Lawton article in the Epoch Times? I need to get that posted because this is huge. Trevor Lawton comes right out and provides 9 steps necessary if we're going to save ourselves from this communist infiltration from socialism. And so, number 6, he's calling for the states to engage in Republic Review. To clearly help you understand this, Trevor Lawton is an opponent to the Convention of States. And as I've been telling people for the longest time, if you want to end the debate, then you'll support Republic Review. And let me ask anybody who is on the fence or says that Republic Review is actually some back door to the convention, ask them what process actually has states rescinding their active petitions for the convention or the Article 5 convention. That is Republic Review. I don't think any organization has a process to say, if you do this, then you'll have to do that. And that's what Republic Review does, because Republic Review is myopically focused on enforcing the Constitution. Has no interest in amending the Constitution. Republic Review is strictly the process of holding the government in full accountability. Now, afterwards, do the states want to have an amendment? As I propose, the one amendment that the states should actually consider so that we never get tied up in these stupid debates anymore is the fact that we don't need an Article 5 convention. Get rid of it. You know, I used to tell this to the John Birchers and other people, the Eagles Forum and so forth. I used to say, come on, why don't you start building a consensus amongst the states to actually ask Congress to remove the Article 5 convention part of Article 5? Get rid of it. Then, oh, well, we don't want to do that. We're not advocating for amendments. And I go, so the reality is, my friends, is that when somebody is actually making relevance and has an opportunity to exploit something, then why would they want to get rid of it? And there it is. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and you are listening to the only show that provides the academic-based evidence solutions and academic-based evidence of how we've gotten into this mess and what we absolutely have to do. The only solution, as you know, Republic Review. So anyway, I want to also let you know that we really do appreciate your tuning in. We've got Red Pill Expo coming up in Rapid City, not Red City. Maybe they want to change their name to Red City in South Dakota, and that'll be June 4th, 5th, and 6th. And so with that, we're going to just dive straight into marketing because I believe when we're doing marketing, we kind of want to bring stories that have been occurring that maybe you haven't heard about, or maybe what we want to do is reemphasize them in kind of throwing this out there. And maybe we're throwing it in your face. Okay, we're not here to to actually try to make you feel bad. We're really trying to actually motivate you to realize that you actually do count, regardless of how small of a contribution you think you'll be making. As I have said before, every little atom that is a part of that nuclear bomb in an ICBM and every little component and part that makes up that bomb, all of those things contribute to actually, you know, having a huge effect. And we want you to understand that getting involved with Republic Review will have a huge effect. You have an opportunity to actually write so that your children understand that you were a part of the thing that saved the Constitution and liberty, not just for America, but for the world. If you know Trevor Lawton like I do, and you've ever listened to him like I have, because I've actually been at his presentations, and actually in 2016, we were both keynote speakers, kind of a dual headline, down in the Constitution Association in Southern California, and it's common for Trevor, and it gets very emotional when, and of course, I understand his emotions on this. The reason he, as a New Zealander, is here in America isn't trying to make money. This guy is not trying to line his pockets with gold. He's here to wake America up and to keep us from falling into communism. Because if America falls, the world falls. And he knows that, and he emphatically shares that with people. We will be right back with some Need to Know news and other headlines. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so you may not know this, but we actually have posted on the petition page the update on Bob Schultz's lawsuit against Congress. Guess what? It's moving forward. Now, as you know, just recently, the Supreme Court refused to review 2020 election fraud cases against Pennsylvania, claiming it was moot because the election was over. And this week, the Supreme Court rejected, without comment or explanation, the remaining 2020 election challenges by attorney Sidney Powell in Arizona and Wisconsin. Now, we've told you that really there's nothing in the Constitution that ties the Supreme Court's hands in addressing voter fraud. there's been many a times they've been activist courts and coming down and saying, you have to create these motor voter laws and these other things, forcing upon the states a lack of control, which, I mean, if you understand, we've gone through this in 1993, Bill Clinton got the Motor Voter Act to be passed. That should have been challenged by the Supreme Court to say, hey, we don't have any constitutional powers to mandate these types of things upon the states. There have been all sorts of federal encroachments, and the bench has been silent, and is actually their silence is supporting these types of things. So one can't look at, well, to be clear, as they take this stand against these voter fraud positions and so forth, you got to understand that the reality and what we're talking about here is that the Constitution gives the federal government no power over, you know, how the states actually execute their elections. The only thing within the Constitution where the federal government does have a hook in the states is Article 2, which is why we have moved this petition forward and why this petition has now turned into a lawsuit. Only state legislators have the authority in accordance with the Constitution to decide the manner in selecting the president. In other words, they're the ones that have the lawmaking authority, and only them, not governors, not jurists. This is why this is so important. As you understand, as the courts continue the rejections of voter fraud and everything else, it would be nice to see that the states challenge these motor voter laws, because at that point, I believe you'll actually start seeing that the court will say, we do have to support the Constitution. Their hands are tied. They're supposed to be the guardians of the Constitution. So if you want to see what's happened, you will actually see the summons, because Congress has been now ordered to actually, and you know what? Let me actually pull this up for you just so that you can see exactly what this thing says. And so this is the filed summons against the Congress, which both houses. As a matter of fact, you'll actually notice that there is one summons in civil action to the House of Representatives and the other one to the Senate. And so a lawsuit has been filed against you. Within 21 days after service of the summons on you, not counting the day you receive it, or 60 days if you are the United States or a United States agency or an officer or employee of the United States described in the FedR Civil Code, you know, 12A2 or 3, you must serve the plaintiff an answer to the attached complaint or a motion under Rule 12 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. The answer or motion must serve the plaintiff or plaintiff's attorney, whose names and addresses are Robert Schultz and Anthony Fuchsia. And so if you fail to respond, judgment by default will be entered against you for the relief demanded in the complaint. So I want you to understand the relief demanded. The relief demanded is that Congress must choose per the 12th Amendment who the President of the United States is. So when this moves forward, and actually this should actually go, because what will happen is, I'm sure the Congress, both sides of Congress will say, hey, you know, we followed the Constitution. They're going to make that claim. And then this will be forced to actually go before the judge. And the judge will clearly see that the evidence is overwhelming against Congress, that they failed. Now, the question is, will the court actually do the right thing? Because, to be honest, the court has failed to do the right thing. What we want to do is we want to give you a ringside seat. Yeah, we want you as the spectator that has the pure clarity of what the heck is going on to realize that there is no branch within the federal government that we can rely upon. Now, you can call, as a matter of fact, I would recommend everybody call the Supreme Court and say, you better do the right thing or we consider the entire federal government in non-compliance to the Constitution, and we are looking at, and I guess the best word is force, we are looking at forcing you into compliance by using the authority which the states possess over their Constitution. I mean, that's a pretty clear message, isn't it? Right? Now, as you understand, if you listen to what I am saying, these are bold assertions. Go listen to anybody else, and you'll notice that, you know, they've got these plans, and we're gonna promote homeschooling. We're gonna promote. This is the solution. It's a 40-year plan. You know what? We don't have 40 years. I've told people this time and time again. You know, it took Moses 40 years to change the culture of Israel. We don't have 40 years. We have to use the God-given compact that we have and enforce it. And we have to enforce it to the letter if we are to save our constitutional republic and keep us from this unconstitutional reset, from this unconstitutional usurpation, and this unconstitutional throwing away of our Constitution and liberties. The federal government doesn't have the authority to do that. They can't do that. And what they're going to do is they're going to do that. So what I just read for you for the Senate is the exact same wording for the House. And so I believe, and this actually occurred on Thursday. So most congressmen in both houses by the 5th or by Friday had to have, you know, this deliverance of information, because it is required that they be notified that they are being sued. Every single member of Congress, every senator, and every representative. So what that means is Friday was really probably a butt-pucker moment where these flagrant violators of our Constitution, you know, may have come to the recognition that, oh, wow, I could actually be held accountable. They have no idea. And as a matter of fact, I wish Bob would have included in this process that these people, after they do the right thing, be dismissed for failing to support their oath of office in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Anyway, what's it going to take, folks? Huh? What is it going to take to start getting people to hold our government at all levels accountable? We have to start with the federal government, and this is why it is paramount, that we get the federal government in compliance by using Republic Review. Now, I told you a long time ago that this study, this goes back to 2018, and I was broadcasting in 2018 when this study came out, and I have cited this several times, that there are more than 22 million in the United States. That was a pretty good number back when Bush was president. It was around 20 million. Back when Bush was president and they were floating around the possibility of amnesty, it came out that there was probably 20 million illegals. Now, what I am telling you is that when they say there's 22 million illegals or invaders in America, that means that the other portion of the invaders have possibly done a decent job in covering up their tracks by getting driver's licenses and other types of illegal documents to kind of cover up their tracks. But here's the real number, and this is from the Need to Know News, that you, if you haven't signed up for this, please get these emails. Because, again, there's lots of COVID information that J. Edward Griffin is providing. How many people are dying, all of this other stuff. And we will report on some of that. But, you know, we don't want that to necessarily dominate our message and marketing, because we want to have a full spectrum. We want to have a very broad spectrum of showing you all of these types of things with immigration and other things to prove to you that we're in the handbasket and we're on our way to hell, okay? Numbers USA, which is the organization, says that a new bill, the United States Citizenship Act, will allow 37 million illegal aliens to receive green cards and citizenship over the next 10 years. Labor-intensive businesses support mass immigration because they want cheap labor while Democrats want votes. The Center for Immigration Studies stated Biden's bill includes many new waivers and exemptions for criminal aliens. Heritage Action for America said that by giving green cards and citizenship to illegal immigrants, the bill would make them eligible for social welfare programs, which the country cannot afford. The estimated cost is in the trillions of dollars and will encourage more people to migrate here. The Constitution is clear, and we will be back telling you that, you know, exactly the position that these people are supposed to be taking, period. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so what does the Constitution say regarding immigration? Or actually, let's be very specific, regarding invasions. Article 4, Section 4 clearly states, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. So clearly, we know that we've been invaded, and the invasion has continued for decades. And it is not Congress's power to legitimize invasions. They are to protect. Their obligation is to protect. The federal government's obligation is to protect the states from an invasion, not to say, okay, we've been invaded by 37 million people, and now we will go ahead and allow these people to be legitimized and with no consequences. And we'll just continue to allow this to continue. Folks, if we don't get Republic Review moving, we are going to suffer until Christ comes. And because I truly believe these are the days. I truly believe we are seeing the dark forces, Satan gathering his leagues of evildoers and armies and so forth. Go read the scriptures, get intimate with the scriptures, but do not forget that the ratification debates are equivalent to our scriptures when it comes to the governance of mankind. these framers knew what this Constitution meant. They may not have fully fathomed what this Constitution meant. They may not have understood that this Constitution was God's solution for governing the world, governing all of mankind. It was the globalist solution of getting all people to be able to enjoy liberty. As I have said, there is no evidence that the Lord only wants America to enjoy, out of all of his children on the earth, only America can enjoy liberty? I'm sorry. I believe he loves us all. And I believe the scriptures say he loves us all. And I believe that, you know, regardless, everybody should have an opportunity. I mean, why did Christ go into the dens of iniquity? Why was he, you know, castigated by the Pharisees and Sadducees for going into the dens of iniquity, trying to convert those who were sick or those who were in sin? It's clear. We have a responsibility. And I'm not even going to, you know, tie all of these things together. Bottom line, we have a responsibility to hold our government accountable to the oath of office. These charlatans, these carpetbaggers, these failures in our political circle, they are responsible of ending this invasion and or addressing it, not by legitimizing it. They say, oh, you know, and it really kills me when I hear a politician like Bush or even Trump come out and say, well, we're not going to deport everybody. The Constitution doesn't say, you know, we're going to, you know, kind of take our gloves off. No, it says that the United States guarantees to protect each state in this union from an invasion. Do your job, government. Republic Review holds them accountable. This isn't about hating people. This is about the rule of law. And the fact is, there are protections in this Constitution. And they understood that there was a likelihood that we could have been invaded, but whether that be by sea or by land, it doesn't matter. An invasion was a guarantee, or actually protection from an invasion was guaranteed within the Constitution. Let's move on. Again, what is it going to take to get you involved? G. Edward Griffin reports the Biden administration announced that it would extend the national foreclosure moratorium and mortgage forbearance through June. See, I had a problem when Trump did this. And, at, you know, when you can try to buy constituents by throwing money or giving them breaks when you don't have the constitutional authority, that is tantamount to buying votes. And allowing for delayed mortgage payments. The Census Bureau data indicated in December that 20% of renters across the country are now unable to pay their rent. And 14 million were behind on rent. 40 million people are at risk of eviction, and total unpaid rent was estimated at $70 billion. Landlords will not be able to recover the lost revenue, and the situation continues to get worse. You're a landowner. You've earned your property, and you have purchased and all the property you have sweat and toiled for. And now, because of government interference and government manipulation, government is now coming down and saying, you have no rights to enforce your property. Are you kidding me? You have every right to enforce your contracts. You have every right. I'm telling you that these folks that own this land, they need to have a class action lawsuit against the federal government. And again, I'm going to go back to the origins of this. It may not have been Trump, but it was under Trump's administration. We can't allow violations to just come forth out of the federal government, regardless of who's in. Just because that's our guy doesn't mean it's okay. Farmlands and private property are targeted as the U.S. is committed to tripling its so-called protected lands. President Biden has signed an executive order to protect 30% of U.S. land and 30% of U.S. oceans by 2030 in the name of environmentalism and biodiversity. So remember when we were talking about corporate farms and how states need to take possession and control over their lands? The federal government is now coming in. Not only have they usurped the state rights of creating reservations for environment purposes, for people purposes, for forestry, for parks, it doesn't matter. Those are all unconstitutional. And now they're overreaching the Constitution to say, oh, by the way, your farmers, we're going to seize 30% of your farmland for environmentalism and biodiversity. Are you kidding? Much of the land is now privately owned, so the plan is to put an end to private property by any means necessary, including confiscation via taxes and regulation. I was going to say confiscatory, but that's a little bit difficult for me when you have hard times with names. You know, it's interesting. I can read the words, and I know exactly what they mean, but some of the archaic words, maybe not. But anyway, what's it going to take, folks? Do you have to lose your land? You know, if you have a house with a few acres and you have your own little, you know, victory farm on there, who's to say the federal government is going to come in and basically take away the land that your house is sitting? They're going to let you occupy your home. But you can't have, you can't do anything to your property without their approval. Who is going to start recognizing how they're doing this? This is Agenda 2030. If you understand Agenda 2030, then you understand that your property rights will be taken from you. G. Edward Griffin reports. And so, like I said, we will be reporting on some COVID stuff. But there's, I could actually do show after show after show of doing nothing but reporting that. But here we go. G. Edward Griffin reports of COVID-19. The reports of COVID-19 are decreasing despite an outbreak of illness said to be a COVID-19 aboard a Navy ship. A top U.S. military official said Wednesday that more than one-third of service members are declining to take the vaccine. One-third of the military. Now, I don't know. When I was in the military, you had no options. You were told to do something. The only reason I was not serialized with my DNA is because I was in the process of being retired when they mandated everybody in the armed forces had to have a DNA registry so that, you know, if you got hurt, died, and they found your body, they could identify you instead of using dog tags. So during a House hearing on the armed forces response to COVID-19, Representative Mike Rogers asked Major General Jeff Taliaferro, Vice Director of Operations, what percentage of service members have declined to receive the vaccine? Taliaferro replied that the number was somewhere around two-thirds acceptance. So in other words, one-third is denying. You know, just basic beer math, right, folks? If you understand the ramifications of these kids, these are low risk, but they understand that the virus or the vaccine to the virus is more harmful than the virus itself. We've already kind of given you that information. Democrats formally introduced Biden's sweeping, this is another news story by G. Edward Griffin, Biden's sweeping immigration bill that would provide a path to U.S. citizenship for an estimated 11 million illegal immigrants in the country, but which faces long odds to the passage. Now, we're seeing this actually being played out right now, and the bill is 353 pages pro-immigration and has received public support even from Republicans. Why? They're pandering for votes. But bottom line, if you have a Republican label, and even if you are pandering out there for votes, it is, you're already marketed against. Why would you even stand up and say you accept this when you know you've already been labeled as a white supremacist? Anyway, it's about time to support the laws of the land, not one's self-interest.
G.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so the part that you need to know about is that even though they're pushing forward with this immigration bill, Congress is actually, and this is happening under the radar because there's much bigger travesties, Congress is simultaneously pushing ahead with smaller scale immigration bills, including the good old measure that is offering a path to citizenship for what they call the dreamer immigrants, not just the old DACA, those in a very specific time frame with Obama offering DACA. They're actually going to start offering this to all kids that are coming here living in the United States illegally after entering as a child. I just, you know, want you to understand that it is worse than you think. So what's it going to take? I'm going to do a little go back on some of the promotions because I used to have a sponsor with my local radio show and when I was doing both local radio and Red State. And that was when I was just trying to cover my costs and my wife and I just kind of decided, well, you know, this is far more important than, you know, trying to be held to, you know, sponsors. As you understand, when all of a sudden a sponsor comes along and they're paying for you to actually have your airtime and so forth, they can come right along and say, hey, you know, we kind of don't like what you're saying and we'll have to pull our sponsorship if you keep doing that. Because he who pays the piper calls the tunes, as you understand. So, this is one of the reasons why we may have AdLocal, but it's not like AdLocal is, you know, paying for the sponsorship, so they don't have any influence, and they're patriotic organizations, so we just want to actually help you with the IT services that you may need and getting involved with, you know, your own email services, your own domain services, and so forth. AdLocal has that opportunity for you to help you have some resilience to the potential of even being deplatformed. But anyway, one of the sponsors we had was a custom home builder in the readout area or in the eastern Washington, Idaho area where they can build homes and so forth. I told people that the readout movement was alive and that, you know, if you had any idea of getting away from your blue area, but you may not have your, you know, pockets filled with gold, it may be too late to come into some of these areas, because I can tell you in the Idaho and the Eastern Washington area, there are people with gold in pockets coming and plopping down big dollars to buy land in the middle of nowhere, like a cabin without any power, and paying whatever it takes to get the power and everything else to live on that property for these people, because they've realized how bad it is getting. If you don't understand the readout, R-E-D-O-U-B-T, concept, this concept was born by a book, I forget who wrote it, but basically identified that the Rocky Mountain, Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, this big left quadrant, except for the coastal regions from the Cascades to the ocean, they looked at from the Cascades across for a certain, you know, certain distance, that the readout area was an ideal area because it makes it really hard for government to actually come in and locate people and so forth. And the whole premise behind this was the concept, if you remember Red Dawn, the Soviet Union identified that as that exact same area as an area that they would not be able to, you know, just like Afghanistan, they just would not be able to come in and dominate. It would take so much effort and so much time to chase the people that are the resistance in the area that it would be hard. Well, anyway, I'm actually seeing property going for obscene amounts of money in this area. Just letting you know that the panic has hit. There are people that are willing to throw, you know, a good chunk of their life savings into living somewhere where they feel might be the last bastion of liberty. Just letting you know. Okay, so what's it going to take for you to get involved so that you can help these people realize that that was money poorly spent, right? Anyway, this next story with G. Everett Griffin, this really goes back to the whole concept about the wiring of the progressives and how hardwired they are in forcing and demanding and doing everything. The ends justify the means, okay? All four members of the Oakley Union Elementary School District Board in San Francisco Bay Area resigned after a video of them preparing for a meeting. And they were unknown, or they didn't realize, it was kind of like that open mic moment, that the broadcast was live. Unaware that the public was watching while they used profanity and made jokes about parents wanting a babysitter while they smoked pot in their homes. Anyway, as this goes on, one of the board members, Kim Beattie, apparently was trying to defend herself from a parent who criticized her on social media for going to a party during the COVID-19 pandemic after insisting it wasn't safe to return kids to school. Board President Lisa Brizendine said that the parents really want schools to reopen so they can't get their babysitters back. Now, the newscasters felt that the significance of this story was not that the attitude of the board was reprehensible, but that the people need to make sure their microphones are turned off when they expect them to be. Anywho, and actually, I would even say that the real side to this story, because that was G. Everett Griffin's slant, I think that the real side to this story is that people are not going to tolerate these types of paradigms, even though this is a bastion of liberals in this area. These people were voted in because they were liberals by the liberals. Even the liberals do not like that cavalier attitude, and it just goes to prove that nobody is going to give you a pass for you hanging yourself in public by using what I would say, you know, an open mic moment to give them a reason to hang you. You know, I don't know who said it, but I know it was said that if you give any species enough rope, they will always hang themselves. Anyway, in this next story, we already know how Texas was affected by the past deep, and so G. Edward Griffin is going to be talking a little bit about this Texas, you know, alternate power and so forth. But here's my question as I go through this. Where are the lawsuits against the federal government mandating these alternate power providers? People died, and this is what G. Edward Griffin reports. Over 50 people have died in Texas due to a cold snap that caused failure to provide electricity after wind turbines locked up, pipes froze in natural gas plants, and because they don't insulate and protect. I mean, if you live in the north where it does get cold, they actually have to insulate that stuff. And a nuclear reactor went dark when a 5-foot section of uninsulated pipe seized up. In short, Texas's power producers failed to adequately winterproof their systems because they don't ever have winter there. Or at least not that this type of magnitude. This only goes to show that the fallacy of alternate power, solar as well as wind, is not a reliable, and as a matter of fact, it is more costly. If you want to understand why your energy rates are going up, is because of the Obama mandates of these alternate powers. Oh, well, it's better for the planet that these people died? I don't think so. What is it going to take to get people to start recognizing the federal government, first off, doesn't even have any authority or power in the Constitution to be doing these things, and we have to hold them accountable. People are dying for all different reasons, and in every case, it is unconstitutional, period. Moving on, he says, and this is on the same story, the state's grid operator, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, underestimated its need for reserve power capacity before the crisis and then moved too slowly to institute rolling blackouts. An estimated 4.5 million people lost power, and some northern Texans who were lucky enough to have power in their homes were hit with astronomically high electrical bills, including one customer who was billed $17,000 just because of this cold snap. Wow. And I don't know how they can do this. This is another part of the Agenda 2030, when they start punishing you for what you consume. If you already understand the tiered system on your electrical bill, what they're basically doing is saying, we only believe you deserve this much energy, and if you want to consume more, we're going to charge you more for it, when it shouldn't. As a matter of fact, their requirement is to be able to ensure that every consumer has every bit of current that they absolutely need. If you have a 200-amp power section or 400-amp, not power section, what do you want to call that, your power panel that serves your house, if you have a 20-amp, they should be accountable for being able to give everybody 200 amps of power, all of their customers at one point in time. What they do is they play the odds and averages because nobody ever uses their full power, and that they use the rest of the money to pay their fat CEOs millions of dollars for making the company money. We'll get more into this down the road, but as we move forward, we need your help. And I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.